This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. A few weeks ago, President Barack Obama presented the nation's highest civilian award, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, to Reverend C.T. Vivian of Atlanta, the current president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Dr. Vivian joins us now in his home. Dr. Vivian, thanks very much for being with us.
It's good. I'm glad you're here, friend.
As we speak, it's the day after the death of Nelson Mandela. You did not know him personally, but you knew Winnie Mandela, correct?
Yes, I did. And the thing that stood out for me about Winnie is that she was a person that was as outward, filled with the Spirit as he was. She kept the women of that country bound to everything that the movement was about. She danced with them, she sang with them, she suffered with them. Getting her children to school was always difficult for her, right? Everything was difficult for her. For instance, when I was at the house, she told us about people who were a half a block away shooting through her window into her kitchen. What she did was to create a wall, a brick wall, so that the bullets would go into the brick wall, right? Whether it was annoyance or whether it was for death, you never quite knew. And if somebody's shooting at you, you never know, right? But she made that barrier there, which seemingly they did not know was there, right? She had a great spirit, right? One of the sad things was, however, is that she was with him when he came out of prison. But shortly after that, they were divorced, right, it seems. But and there's the stories that were going around at the time, is that that was a part of what was agreed upon. She was so outstanding, and people so respected her, that the difficulty was that for white, or so it was said, for white South Africans to actually like her, if she was going to be the first lady, how that worked, I'm not clear. But it was a part of the whole arrangement. But she was loved by every woman in South Africa.
Knowing her as you did, and certainly over the years following his release, mm-hmm. there were the questions of whether she and some of the ANC leaders were involved in all sorts of acts of violence.
Yeah, I take most of that lightly. And I say that because I do understand a racist here in the South under both when they're in control and when they have to conform, as well as in South Africa. Racists are racist wherever you put them, right? So I take the same attitude toward them there as I did here, all right? You have to know that they're willing to kill you at any time. The thing that always, it was the prison that stood out for me at all times. And
the prison in which Nelson Mandela was held on Robben's Island off the coast.
Right. In fact, that was so important to me that each time I was in South Africa that was near there, I always went and went through it again. I like to hear it from different kinds of persons that were taking you through than telling you about what happened there. And I find that each time that I went, I learned more. But the one person I like better than all was a fellow that was in jail with Mandela and had come back to be one of those that led people through and told them the story and showed them things and told them things, all right? And the first fellow that I went through with told me about their digging holes, putting people down in them and letting them sit out there in the rain, right? And the second one didn't tell me that, but the second one told me kind of things that I did not hear from the first one. He told me about how Mandela and one of the persons that I later did their funeral when I was in South Africa, But they told me about how they would have people fill up wheelbarrows of salt, and then you take it to the other side, you dump it, and then they make you fill it again and bring it back across, right? And they would do that anytime and as much as they wanted you to do it. It was also done in the sun, and that sun coming off of the salt, right, was very hard on the eyes. One of the things I didn't hear from any of them, however, that I heard this morning, or was it last night, was that he had an operation on his eyes so that he would not be able to cry, but it was to be helpful on his eyes, right? Sometimes everything done to hurt you in a nonviolent movement becomes that which builds you and helps you, you see. The fact that they couldn't see him and was probably as much help. You create in your own mind more than may have been there.
Were you aware of his drawing on the experiences that you and others had in the movement here? And yet at the same time, he also talked about, for South Africa, the necessity, in his view, of armed struggle.
He did. There is a way of learning that armed struggle will not do what you really want done. And you come slowly to understand that attitudes toward the person that you are supposed to dislike and that they're supposed to hate you, right, are not the attitudes that's going to allow you to fulfill what you're there for. And both of them learned that, right? Both the South African warriors, the Afrikaners, right, they also learned that their attitude toward African people was going to change whether they liked it or not, that there was not going to be a life for either one unless they had a different, and the leadership in particular could have a different attitude. But it was Mandela who understood that. It was not the white Afrikaners, right? He had to convince them, and he had, and he tried a number of things to do that so he could get to, he even learned their language so he could speak to them as though he knew them, understood them, right? Mandela was a marvelous kind of warrior, right? He reminds me of Martin King. Martin never hated anyone. Martin never even, he never cussed out anyone. He never allowed his troops to be hateful and or violent. And he could control that, and he did.